few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Good evening, Para-X! And if you think that I stole that from Good Morning Vietnam, I absolutely did. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. I am waiting for my co-host, who is kind of being screwed over by Skype at the present moment because of their auto updates. So he should be along here pretty soon. He is currently swearing into my phone via text. What we're going to do tonight, once he gets here, is we are going to continue the show that we had last week. We were quite rudely cut off by the end of our hour, and I put this in air quotes out of respect and professional courtesy. We had to hand over the Airstream, whatever you want to call it, over to Mr. Matt Gesso in the Paracave. I didn't want to. I don't think anybody else wanted to do it, but we had to. But we were discussing last week. We started with the New Jersey Devil and ended with Mothman. And I wasn't quite aware at that time, like, how big that story actually got. Like, I thought it was just Mothman, 1 year, the bridge collapsed, they were blaming him for stuff. Nobody really knew why he was there. What I did not know was all the stories that went with it, the stories we're going to talk about tonight. Such names as John Keel, Mary Heyer, if I pronounced that correctly, Woodward, if I can remember how to pronounce it, Durhavenberger, something like that, Durenberger, there we go, Durenberger. They were all obviously living people that were connected to this story by a man named, and I'm going to name my first child this name, Indrid Cold. I don't know why, I absolutely love that name. So we are going to be discussing all three of those. So I guess I will. Yes, thank you, Ra. Durenberger. I don't know. I can't pronounce it. I'm awful with long and complicated names. Looks like Durenberger. And also the Men in Black. Everybody knows the Men in Black, you know, as Will Smith, Will Smith's movie about the organization that, I don't know, is in charge of the aliens that are here on the planet. At that present time, up until, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but up until I started researching for this show, I did not know that they were actually real. Call me focused on the supernatural, but I did not understand that. So, I guess they were real. And this Indrid Cold is supposed to be one of them, and he also has the nickname the Grinning Man, because I guess he never stops smiling. So the story that I read today, about Mr. Woodward Durenberger's account is he's just driving down the road, and this is previous to the Mothman sightings in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So, all right, so Dave's telling me that he's online now, even though he's not. So I'm going to attempt this, and maybe we can say hi so I can actually start talking about it or conversing about it as opposed to just riling off a whole bunch of facts. Nobody really wants to hear that. Oh my God, it worked. Welcome. Welcome to the Odyssey Files, Mr. Soiring.
Hey, praise the Lord. What do you know about that? I'll tell you what, people, if you don't have Skype, you are missing out on some of the finer things in life.
It was online really
at 5:45, and at 5:58, it said, "Hey, Dave, it's time for us to do an update. We're going to lock down your computer and freeze everything for you just before you're about to go live. Welcome, Skype fan." I'll leave it at that.
Hashtag Skype rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's right. I already told people that you were swearing into my phone. So
I was. Yes. Yeah, I was. All right.
So that is perfectly. So I have informed everybody of what we're going to be talking about. I have used, put forth the names, you know, obviously John Keel, Mary Heyer, Woodward Derenberger. We had a lot of fun with that.
Yep.
And of course our main star, Mr. Indrid Cold.
Indrid Cold. Absolutely. I'm looking forward.
I was just about to start, Mr. Woodward's, story.
Sure.
And was talking about how this is actually previous to the Point Pleasant, sightings.
Yes.
Back in 1966.
Yep.
So since I've been talking for, I don't know, 10 minutes now. No, 7 minutes. Why don't you go ahead and tell the story?
Okay. So are we starting with when Mr. Woodward...
Derenberger. For,
yeah, Derenberger. No, I knew that.
I know. I just like saying better. The name now.
Derenberger. When he actually was approached by Mr. Cold.
Yes.
Is that kind of where we're at? Okay. All right.
Yes.
So, Mr. Derenberger was a sewing machine salesman, and he was on his way home from, I would imagine, what was a sales call or sales meeting or something to that effect. And as he was driving down the road, he was passed by a vehicle that he described as a chimney-shaped, like a chimney-shaped vehicle that you would see like on an old kerosene lantern. So kind of long and slender in the front, rounded in the back, and kind of like a bulb-looking thing in the middle. And if any of you have seen, like, you know, antiques, you know kind of what I'm talking about. And that it basically, he said, flew past him, hovered a couple feet off the ground, that this person got out, person, entity, whatever, I'm sure we'll reference that back and forth tonight. And that as soon as he exited it, there was a large thunk, which I'm not really sure what that meant because I tried to do some research on that and I couldn't really find anything more than the large thunk thing. And then that the car, and I wouldn't say it was a car, I would say it was some type of craft.
Vehicle.
Right. Rose from the ground and rose up into the sky. Okay, so...
For 40 feet.
Yeah. So this gentleman, Mr. Cold, approached Woodward's vehicle and basically, through telepathic communication, said to him that I'm not here to hurt you, that I'm friendly, and that I'm basically just here to communicate. And, you know, if you roll your window down and we can talk, that would be great. So that's basically what happened. Woodward kind of described him as, and I'm not sure exactly if what I read, but I know from other things that I looked up that he was described as Mr. Cold was described as the grinning man. That's what they call him. And that it always seems that every time he's looking at somebody, he has this huge smile on his face. But also that he had kind of odd features, like pale skin, really pale, like Eastern European, didn't seem to understand what a person at that time in that area would understand, like, what are those lights in the distance kind of thing? Is that where people would live? Those were some of the questions that he asked Woodward. And which seemed kind of odd. And those, and you know, I guess if you think about it, that would seem kind of odd to me today too. Like, so if somebody pulled up in my hometown and said to me, yeah, those lights over there, what is that? And is that where humans would live? But, you know, I probably would kind of look at him kind of strange too. So I don't think that that aspect of it really changes with time. But basically they had a conversation, and then Mr. Cold ended it with, you know, we will be seeing you again, which I think is profound. And then the craft came back down, the vehicle, and he entered it and it sped off.
Yep.
And that was really the first contact prior to the Mothman actually showing up.
Was it a week or was it a month before the Mothman was first sighted then? I know it wasn't too much longer.
No, I think it was a month. Yeah. Month, it was a week month? Or a month. It was between a week and a month.
Right.
Right.
So I read tons of articles today discussing Indrid Cold and the Men in Black.
Yep.
So it, I don't know. I'm switching between, you know, just maybe a weird human, you know, maybe that was just the way they looked. I don't know. And whether he was for aliens, you know, extraterrestrials. But, you know, I came across Woodward and even his wife talked about in a book or whatnot that this Indrid Cold, who came back obviously multiple times to him and took him to his home planet of Lanlos.
I would say that's a good guess.
I mean,
in like the solar system, Galaxian or something like that. Yeah, I don't have it sitting right in front of me.
I pronounced it like genealogy or something like that. It was gene something.
Yeah.
But has that ever been in, is that like on our charts? Is that something NASA has?
You know, I didn't get referenced? That deep into the. I didn't get that deep into the research.
No, neither did I, and I ran out of time.
Okay, so ask your questions, people. Look, do some research. Do some research while you're listening to Mike and I. Look it up and see if that is in our solar system.
Yeah, we can't give you all the answers. I mean,
correct. Correct. This is an interactive program.
That's goes right.
Two ways, guys, two ways.
But what do you think of the little guy that came to see Mary, and I may be getting way ahead of ourselves, you know, but guess
that's
just,
okay. We can bounce around.
There's like 400 different ways that I'm going with this just in my thoughts. And I don't know how to organize them. Because I don't know, suddenly hearing and reading all of these stories, like is blowing my mind. And I can't wrap my head around what I believe is actually going on. And or what could be going on, and I don't know. So I'm kind of lost. I'm kind of just a fan. I just want to sit here
and listen. And,
sit here and listen, and be one of the listeners instead of the hosts.
Okay. But, all right. Well, I guess the pressure's on me. So
no. That's all right. I got it. I just I'm having a usually I have a much more organized way I want to do this. And I don't know. I was just kind of pulled in every single different way.
Right. And I can understand why. Because when you really start digging into the Mothman, and I mean getting past the superficial first page of your Google search, you know, and not reading about Richard Gere and how he starred in the movie and not reading about John Keel's book, and you actually get to some of the pages past your first search page, there's some really interesting stuff. So that day that Mary Heyer saw the short guy, you're talking about the one she described as a midget. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So prior to that, she had two gentlemen dressed in black suits, overcoats. She described them as being of Oriental descent because their skin was tan, but also translucent, if that makes sense. And
just like Oriental people.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just didn't want to sound racist, you know, because all Orientals are
just translucent. Just leave that to me.
Okay, all right. Well, you run with that. So, all right. So she said, you know, that they appeared to be Oriental and that their skin was translucent and dark and not dark tan, but tan enough to where she thought they were Oriental looking. So those two guys show up, ask her about the UFOs. Now, the interesting thing about them showing up, asking her about the UFOs, is that when they first came to her office, it was the day after the bridge collapse. So that's when they show up. So everybody who's in the newsroom is going crazy with the whole, the bridge has collapsed. My God, people have died. We're looking for survivors. You know, we're still trying to find two bodies that are missing. And these guys stroll in and start asking about UFOs, which I would think that's kind of odd timing. So they say, has anybody ever told you not to publish any of your information about UFOs? To which she replies, hell no, and I wouldn't anyway, meaning that she wouldn't stop. Now we got to remember, doing a little background here on Mary Heyer, for those who don't know who she worked for the newspaper. She had a very highly read article called The Messenger, okay, that she wrote on a consistent basis. And I don't remember. It was between 1966 and 67, but she, in one weekend, she had over 500 UFO sighting reports from people in Point Pleasant and the surrounding area. That's a substantial number of UFO sightings to be reported in a town of like 3,000 people. That 500 of them saw stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and she wrote an ongoing article in The Messenger called "Where the Waters Mingle."
Yes.
Which was dedicated to strange reports such as the Mothman, such as UFOs, you know, paranormal type stuff.
Right.
And that's kind of how she got tossed all of these different stories when this started happening, because she was known to be the one to write that.
Yeah, she was like the X-Files lady of her time, basically.
Yeah. Good girl.
Yeah. So those two guys leave. Later that afternoon, before she was leaving, another gentleman walks in, very short stature, dressed, she said, very dark features, kind of dark, ratty hair, beady little black eyes, dressed in a black suit that seemed dated, with no overcoat. And she said it was bone chilling outside. And she kind of noticed that the black not having an overcoat seemed kind of odd. And he asked her all kinds of really kind of strange questions. Like, he picked up an ink pen that was on her desk and looked at it kind of like seemed amazed at what he was holding in his hand. And then he asked her questions about UFOs again. And I got to backtrack here a second. So the two gentlemen that walked in earlier had said, oh, I did say that. You're right. Had said, you know, that what if somebody told you not to publish any more stories? Well, this gentleman, in a roundabout way, kind of came out and said the same thing to her, which is kind of odd to have two separate entities, or a group of two and then a single guy, walk in and say the same thing to you, talking about specifically about UFOs after the bridge collapse. You know, it just seems like all your focus would be on the bridge, obviously, and the people that had lost their lives and the tragedy of that and the cleanup that was ensuing and stuff like that. So he kind of stutters and stammers his way through the conversation. She basically bluntly tells him, you know what, I'm not here to be your tour guide. I can pass along some names and numbers of people who have witnessed things, and you can contact them. And then she left and wanted to get home and get a good night's sleep, according to what I read. So she happened to see this guy again, and I don't think it was the same day, but as she was leaving work...
No, it was actually, I think, a couple weeks.
Was it a couple weeks later? Okay.
I think it was a couple weeks later.
So she sees him again as she's leaving work for the evening, and he's like standing kind of off the side of the road staring at her. Same guy. And he's just staring at her, doesn't say anything, so it kind of creeps her out. She stops and kind of looks at him, and a black sedan comes flying around the corner, screeches to a halt, picks him up, he jumps in, whatever the case might be, and takes off, and she never sees him again. Now, that's weird. All right?
Yeah.
So here's, and I'm going to point this out, a couple things that I did some digging, I found some really weird stuff, and I don't know if this is 100% true, so once again, this is Mike and I's opinions.
Dave, this is an internet show, so yeah. If it's on the internet, it's true.
Okay. All right, never mind. This is all totally 100% factual. You could take this to the bank. So the one thing that I found interesting is one of the witnesses claimed that the car that she saw when one of the men in black kind of weird dudes tried to abduct her was a 49 Buick. Okay? Now, this is in the 60s. The thing that's weird about that is she said that this car was brand new. Not restored, brand new. And when she got close enough to the car, because she thought he was looking for directions, and he grabbed her arm and tried to pull her in, she said she could smell the new car smell inside the 49 Buick. And there's other reports of men in black sightings and men in black contact that have older vehicles that are brand new vehicles, like they literally drove them right off of the lot, but they're all 20, 30 years old. That's kind of strange. Who goes out and buys a 30-year-old car, restores it, and then tries to abduct people in it? Right? I mean, if you're going to use something, you're not going to go out and get a 49 Buick. You're going to get something a little bit more newer that's more reliable.
Well, one of the... No, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. But I read several articles, theories, that they thought the men in black, especially this Indrid Cold, were time travelers.
Yep.
Which would definitely fit what we were talking about last week when we were talking about Mothman and how would he know everything, you know, like the with the bridge collapsing and whatnot, if
right.
he didn't have some preconceived notion of it.
Right.
But they also used when dealing with like the abduction. They tried to intimidate witnesses of the UFOs to not share their stories.
Exactly.
And they said, if you do, something bad is going to happen to you. And I did read one story where they did not stop, and they continued telling the story. And then this couple's daughter was almost kidnapped by these people. And, you know, she managed to get away. She screamed, you know, she ran, she got loose and got home. But then somebody slipped a note under their door, said, "We can still get to you."
Yep.
Now,
how creepy
I mean,
is that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and this is a small town. You got to remember, we're talking about a small town here. You know, 500 reported UFO sightings in one weekend. That's ludicrous. I mean, seriously, you know, I believe that we see things that we can't necessarily explain in the sky. I have seen things that I can tell you are not a plane, is not a shooting star, is not a meteor, it's not a weather balloon. I don't know what it is. Okay. I've watched weird things happen up in the sky, but 500 sightings in one weekend is off the charts. Honestly.
Agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly. But, you know, here's the question. What is the connection? I mean, are they some sort of the men in black now? You know,
yeah.
Are they some sort of alien police squad? You know, they're, you know, time cops, if you want to, you know, go on the time traveler type thing. Are they are they trying to protect us? Are they trying to undermine us? A lot. I know that Mr. Woodward, had that conversation with Mr. Injured Cold, where he said, I'm not here to harm you. But then his wife, who also had several encounters with men in black, including Mr. Injured Cold, said that she thought that they were here for more of an evil purpose.
Yep.
So yep. I'm confused as to what exactly the goal of everyone involved is. The Mothman, the UFOs, these men in black. Are they all just... Are they, like I said, are they time cops trying to make sure that other people from the future, these UFOs and whatnot, don't meddle in our affairs and let... I'm going back to Star Trek now.
Right.
The Prime Directive. You don't mess in people's, natural evolution.
Right. Yeah. And we're trying to get your gray matter sparking here. So, that's the goal of our show is to get your gray matter fired up and make, a little fire.
To bring light and clarity into your life.
Exactly. So let's establish one thing. And I'm pretty sure Mike is going to totally 100% agree with me. And if he doesn't, obviously he'll state it. But the men in black are real. There's absolutely no doubt about it. There's pictures of them. There's video of them. You can go on the internet and take a look. One of the people that they were harassing that lived in an apartment complex, there's video of them walking into the building from the security camera. Two guys dressed in black, black suits, black overcoats, come strolling into place. They tried to abduct the person and threatened them that lived upstairs in that apartment that was involved in a UFO sighting and a personal experience. They exist, hands down. Injured Cold? Boy, I don't know. But I'm gonna take a leap of faith and say he does exist. I'm going to say that he's there. All right? So that kind of... we got to kind of, I guess, throw that out there, is that he's real. So that leads us into your question. Are they time cops or are they damage control? And I'm kind of leaning towards damage control. So I think that, just like our government goes out or any government goes out, and if some kind of major event happens or incident happens, the first thing that we do is what? Damage control, right? That's the first thing that happens. When the Exxon Valdez crashed into the reef, first thing they did, they didn't go, oh my God, we just crashed into the reef and the guy was drunk or he was sleeping at the wheel. No, that isn't what happened, right? They did damage control. It wasn't our fault. We didn't even do it, right? So, and I'm just using that as an example. And don't start like jumping on me about the Exxon Valdez. So it just popped into my head. But there's a thousand examples of what happens. A bad incident happens. Something really weird happens. The first thing happens is damage control. I think that the men in black are there to control the situation, not let it get out of hand. Subdue the stories. Subdue the witnesses. Convince them somehow that they were seeing something natural, that it was not a UFO. It was a hot air balloon. It was a weather balloon. It was military... a flyby. It was, flares, the same crap that the military feeds us now about the UFOs. And we are getting into a UFO show down the road here. It'll be on shortly. But that's kind of what I get out of there. Now, I'm going to change subjects real quick. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Or yep. Should we wait? Oh, should we wait until we come back from break? Because we only got 2 minutes.
Yep. Okay. Either one, we can do break anytime we want.
Okay, let's do break, and then I got something really interesting to talk about that's going to, if you didn't read it, it's going to blow your mind.
My mind's already blown. So all you're doing is throwing another bomb and doing otherwise crater.
Well, I'm going to bomb the crater then.
That's fine. Okay. We'll be right back after these wonderful commercials about other Para-X shows. So you're listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para-X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Shortest break ever. So we needed to come back. We needed to get on with our show. I'm eager. I'm just as eager as all of the listeners to get to what Dave is talking about.
Yep. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So I did some looking. Now I'm going to preempt this by saying that I am not a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Do I think that there is some good arguments for random things kind of all coming together and pointing to one thing, like with the people that do the research, whether it be times, dates, locations, whatever? Yeah, I think there's some great arguments, and I think they're very interesting. But as a general, I do not run around thinking that there's a conspiracy happening all around us. All right? So, that said, I did some digging. And I don't know if everybody knows this, so I'm going to point this out. So as we know, that on December 15th, 1967 at 5:04 p.m., the Silver Bridge collapsed during rush hour. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. That's the horrific event that is surrounding the Mothman and Indrid Cold and the UFO sightings and the Men in Black. All of this is related somehow. Mike and I don't have the final piece to what the somehow is, but they're all intertwined somehow. So 46 lives were lost on the bridge. Only 44 bodies were recovered. I don't know if you knew that or not. So there are two people who were never recovered, okay? And this site was kind of digging, but I didn't print them all out, but total, since the incident happened on the Silver Bridge, going forward, every single person who was involved in the original incident, reporting of the UFOs, Men in Black contacts, the book, the John Keel, the guy who did the artwork for the book, the movie, the people who were involved in the movie that were kind of the researchers and stuff like that. Of that, there are 84 total people who have died mysteriously since the movie up until 2003. So there's 84 deaths that happened mysteriously. Every single one of them is traced back to the Mothman or the Men in Black. Over half of them happened at a young age. Including a couple of teenagers. And I found that to be very interesting. And like I said, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I found that to be extremely interesting that there's 84 deaths associated from people who had a hands-on type of place with the Mothman sighting and following that in 1966 and 67.
Yeah, even Mary Heyer, she died in 1970. Nobody really knew why. She was only 54 years old,
right?
Which wasn't old, even for that time,
right?
But yeah, even she died shortly afterwards,
right? And here's an interesting thing that popped up about her. So they saw the Mothman at the TNT area, okay? That's when the Scarberries and the Mallets, when they were on their date,
yep,
saw the Mothman on November 15th, 1966, in the TNT area, Point Pleasant. Exactly 13 months later, to the day, the Silver Bridge collapsed, December 15th, 1967. Exactly 13 months later, Mary Heyer died February 15th, 1970.
Hmm.
I found that to be interesting.
It's very interesting.
I know coincidence plays a lot in our lives and stuff like that, and I'm not saying that there's something to do with the number 13, but it's very interesting that the Mothman is cited, the bridge collapses 13 months later, the person who really was behind getting all of the information and disseminating it out in the newspaper and went through all of the threats and the visitations from the Men in Black and everything else about the UFOs and everything that was going on, died 13 months later to the day. What else was I going to tell you? There was one other thing that was really cool. All right, idle chatter.
Oh, I agree, because that's not enough.
No, it's not.
I am underwhelmed really cool. Right now.
Are you underwhelmed? Okay, all right, here, I got it. All right, I found it. So I got my notes here. Hold on. Okay, let me get this guy's name. Hold on. No, I can't find it off the top of my head. They gave all of the information about the Mothman sighting from the TNT area, and they were trying to debunk it. And they being the local police department, local newspaper reporters, whatever, television reporters from areas around town and surrounding areas. So they were trying to debunk the fact that the couple who saw it on November 15th, the two couples, that what they saw was either an owl, which is the big kind of thing, or a sandhill crane.
Okay? Yes, I did read
right.
that.
You saw that, right? Okay, so the guy who, and they got some sort of like expert, biology expert, who said, well, it's a sandhill crane, obviously, because sandhill cranes stand almost as tall as a human. Well, they don't. I've seen sandhill cranes, and they're down in Florida at my ex-in-law's, and you can walk up and basically feed them, and they're not as tall as a human unless you're about 4.5 foot tall, which I'm not. But they are big. They're big birds, right? And they got about a 7 foot wingspan, 6 to 7 foot. I would agree with that. They're big birds. And they got the red. They've got a red thing around their eye. The only difference there is, number one, it doesn't glow in the dark. You can't even see them at night. So here's something else. When they saw the entity at the TNT mounds, okay, they left. They panicked and they sped away. A short time later, down the road, they saw the same creature standing on a hill looking at them as they're driving down the road. This being spread its wings. They said it was somewhere between 10 and 12 feet wingspan, chased their car. They were doing 100 miles an hour. And this thing chased their car and was right on their butts. All right? So I'm like, okay, 100 miles an hour. I took a look. The fastest owl on the planet Earth, which is about a foot tall, can do 40 miles an hour. And that's when it's in a free dive and it's hunting something. Sandhill cranes. Average 25, maximum speed with a good wind, 35 miles an hour. Nowhere near 100 miles an hour, nowhere near capable of chasing a car all the way down the road into the next town to the pizza joint. So that right there doesn't have an answer. I don't know how people can easily dismiss this expert who says that it was a sandhill crane. I don't understand that. How can common logic make you even remotely think that that's possible?
Well, not only that, but there was some, a lot of the claims and whatnot, especially of this entity taking off from the ground, said that, you know, he went vertically up,
right,
and his wings didn't flap.
Ooh,
that his wings were out.
Right.
But they stayed stationary. Until obviously late. I don't know how
he was beating them so fast that you couldn't see them, like maybe a bat wing kind of, you know, or a dragonfly's wings. I mean, if you like a dragonfly, they're beating so quick, or a hummingbird, You know, they beat so fast that you could see their wings, but you really don't see them move. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
No, no. Hummingbirds, their wings just kind of disappear because they're flying so fast.
Yeah, because they're flying so fast, right. Dragonflies look like they're sitting there, and their wings are going.
Yes.
So,
A lot of people have thought that, you know, it's got to be some sort of man with a jetpack. But obviously there's no sound to it. You know, there's no jet fuel or whatever would you know, cause this thing to go up. And they said it just, they put out his wings, up he went like a helicopter, and obviously then started to chase them. So whoever this entity is, whatever he is, he obviously has a propulsion that is not like anything that we have on this Earth.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And look back at that time, 1966, and I don't know off the top of my head, but did we even have jetpack propulsion technology in 1966? I mean, was that even invented?
Not that advanced. I think they, you know, because that would have been, I'm horrible at that kind of history. But, I mean, obviously it's post-World War II.
Right. Well, let's just say we can agree on the fact that if there was jetpack technology, that it wouldn't be completely invisible at night. Because the only jetpacks I've seen work would shoot a flame out, kind of, even during the day. So if it was at night, you would certainly see some sort of, like, vapor trail of flame or propulsion emissions coming out of this pack.
Yes, 100%. And so I am baffled. It's an interesting, it's a very, very interesting story. It's confusing the hell out of me, which doesn't really happen often where I can't come up with some sort of theory as to, you know, even if it's considered a government conspiracy theory or whatever.
Right.
I can usually come up with something, but there's so many different aspects of this and we're missing so many pieces that it's crazy. And I'd be interested to find out with the Mothman, all of these Mothman sightings this year, you know, in Chicago, if the Men in Black also have claims of being seen.
Right. Which is what, 20, we touched on that last show. Was it 21 or 31?
It was 21.
21, right? Since like April.
I thought it was 21 this year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Since April of this year.
No, I'm like the year total this year. I thought it was like 21 sightings.
Yeah, in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, there have been 21 sightings of the Mothman this year in Chicago. So right. we were theorizing that my theory is because of what is happening 13 months from now, that the Mothman is gearing up for Avengers Infinity Wars.
Right, exactly. That was your theory. And my theory was that 13 months from now, keep paying attention because some major tragedy is going to happen in Chicago or in the Chicagoland area.
Yes. So,
not necessarily the Avenger Wars from my standpoint, but it could be. And if it is, I give you all the props in the world when that happens. So,
all of a sudden, the Mothman shows up at the premiere screening.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, all right, I told you I was here 13 months. I've been terrorizing you guys. This screening is going to happen.
I did not know about I knew about the 13 months from when he was first sighted to win the silver. I did not know about the correlation
to Mary's
13 months later of Mary Heyer's death. Like, I knew when she died, I just did not make that connection.
Yeah.
And,
Isn't that weird?
That could, I don't know. You know, and I keep thinking back to, because in other research that I saw today, there have been sightings. I can't remember if it was the Mothman or if it was like Men in Black type people. I think it was the Mothman, but they even had references to like old Native American like creatures and whatnot. Like, there's sightings, maybe not as obviously as well documented as the 1966 and what we're seeing now in Chicago, but there have been references to this type of flying humanoid figure all the way back into the ancient Native American people. So I don't know, maybe this will sound crazy. I don't know, we're in paranormal, so it shouldn't be too crazy. But I think back to like the X-Files and Supernatural, where they keep talking about how these intervals where, you know, like the Wendigo, you know, sleeps for 5 years or whatever, and then he gets up and eats again.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, gets up and has to feed, and then he goes and hibernates for another 5 years.
Right.
I keep wondering if there is some sort of interval, this 13-month interval, where he shows up, then, you know, people see him for 13 months off and on, and then something bad happens, whether he's the cause of it or not. And then he goes away for however many years.
Right.
Right. I mean, we have to have three, what is it, to make a solid line? 3 points or something like that in order to make a solid line? It's something in math.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
I'm running like, with
we,
you.
We have man. To yep, have three points of contact
yes.
in order to make a valid point. So I'd be interested to see if, like you said, in 13 months something bad happens. And then we go further along in our lives, maybe another 40 years, something like that, and all of a sudden he's back again.
Right. Right. Which, and you know, that brings up the thought process again, obviously, of is he, and I'm kind of going back to you now, you know, that I think that the Men in Black were more of a, you know, a cover-up force, I guess. And you look at more of a, like a futuristic police force, which is great. So let's go back to your thought. Okay. So it's like a futuristic cop type of thing, right? Where they're just trying to like keep the future from coming back to the past. Right. So if that's the case, thinking like that, if he comes back and it is exposed for 13 months, then shouldn't the Men in Black start showing up in Chicago too? I mean, like right within a month or two of the 13-month anniversary type of thing. So, you know, he was seen like in and I'm going to say, I think I'm pretty sure from my memory that the first sighting was in April of this year in Chicago. So, you know, going forward, so May of 2018, so between April and May of 2018, then if we start seeing, you know, documented sightings of Men in Black in Chicago, something bad's going to happen. The question is the Mothman there to protect us and to warn us and try to communicate with us and say, hey, you guys need to pay attention because this bad event's going to happen. And then the Men in Black are there basically saying, get the heck out of here because this is going to happen and you're not supposed to be messing around with this because this is how history goes. And when you mess around with history, you know how that, you know, from all the stories that we see, as soon as you start messing around with history, the whole world goes into chaos because things don't fall into place. And when one thing doesn't happen that was supposed to happen, it triggers everything, like the butterfly effect. Another great movie.
Well, I've actually never seen it.
It's a good movie.
The one thing that is missing from this year, maybe it has happened. We just haven't seen it or looked for it or whatnot, but I would be very interested to see if it follows the same patterns as it did in Point Pleasant, then we should be seeing an awful lot of UFO claims.
Correct.
Coming out of Chicago.
Yep. And there have been some, you know, but they're not recent. But there's some good ones that came out of Chicago.
Well, sure. I mean, even Chad Kalick did the right. Air Above O'Hare.
Right.
You know, Dan Aykroyd bought all of the footage.
Right.
All of it.
Yep.
You know,
it was going to do a show on it, and then at the last second got shut down by the station. So what's up with that, right?
Again, you know, it just it just seems so odd. And you have to wonder, why are they trying to shut it down? Are they trying to keep people from bringing attention to themselves or bringing attention to that area? Or are they trying to be like, nobody needs to know about this. You need to be quiet because, you know, nothing to see here, people.
Right. Well, the easiest way for a government to run its society and its occupants, obviously, is with pacification. You know, keep everybody in the dark, just like a mushroom. You know, I won't say, you know, how that works, but because we're not supposed to swear on the show. But but it's kind of like the same concept, right? If you pacify everybody and say, you know what, that was nothing. There's no reason to get excited. Everything's going along just fine. Continue on your path. Lead your sheep existence. Follow the herd, and everything's going to be great. That is the basis of society.
Yes. But my question is, dealing with the Men in Black, do they actually have anything to do with any sort of government? Because if you look at all the claims of Point Pleasant, everybody that was visited by these Men in Black, they were all weird people. You know, they never saw... There was a handsome man of 35 years old, slick back hair and sunglasses. Nobody ever had anything of like normal human type characteristics. It was always they were very pale skin. They wore makeup possibly to try to look more alive or more human.
Right.
Translucent tall.
Skin was a big claim.
Right. You know, they were the midgets. They were tall.
Right. Right.
You know, they had cars that, you know, went super fast and came out of nowhere.
Right.
I mean, like every claim
on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, claim that it has, I've been able to read does not include human characteristics.
Nope. Not one.
So you have to ask yourself, or anybody for that matter, are they working with the government, or are they trying to do, are they doing their own thing underneath the radar?
Do you want me to answer that?
Sure.
Okay. Again, not being a huge conspiracy guy, but I think that our government obviously knows substantially more, and it's not our government. I think it's the world's governments. So I think every country, Russia, China, all the major superpowers, I think that we are fully aware of the fact that there is another race of beings other than us, and that we do our best to cover up that stuff so that it never has to get out. And that when we can't successfully do it, that the Men in Black show up and use threats or terror or fear tactics or whatever they deem necessary in order to get people to forget about it or to shut up. And it's, they really won't, I don't know how you could ever forget about it. So But forget about it to the point where you feel enough for your safety that you're not going to continue on the path of being in the coffee shop, just telling this incredible story of everything that happened to you and getting everybody else fired up in the coffee shop about what's happening around you. That's what I mean by shutting it down, you know? So that person all of a sudden comes back in and has his pancakes and his eggs and coffee every morning like he does 5 days a week. And instead of spouting this huge tale, now he just comes in and he sits down and reads the paper. You know, because he's been shut down.
Yep.
And I think that's what's happened. And I think that does happen. Much, 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 much more than we know it does. And much more frequently than we know it does, because it never gets reported. I think a lot of that gets swept under the cover.
You would think that nowadays with cell phones, social media, camcorders, radio, you know, shows like this, that it would be almost impossible for any sort of, you know, whether it be a government agency, whether it be Men in Black, whether it be an alien thing, to completely shut it down. Because before they can even get into their cars, you know, people are Facebook living UFOs.
Right.
And now, you know, a million people have seen it.
Right.
You can't stop it now.
No, Right. Not with social media's explosion. I totally agree with you. You know, back in the day there, you're talking about in 66, you're talking about having a phone on the wall that had a cord about 3 feet long that you couldn't. I mean, seriously, we had one growing up in my house. It was a big day when your phone cord went from 4 feet long to like 18 feet long and you could actually walk away from your parents sitting in the kitchen and talk to your girlfriend. So, I mean, that was like a huge, woo, you know, not to date myself, but that was a big day in my household, Ben. But, you know, right. So you're talking about that. You're talking about days when, you know, you put a pen to paper and you put a stamp on it to send a note to your friend across town or in some other neighboring community because you didn't just drive over there. You wrote him a letter. You know, you wrote him a note.
Yep.
Mary Heyer wrote a ton of notes. There's some great stuff on the internet if you really want to follow through on this thing that Mike and I are kind of, you know, bringing to light. There's pictures of her actual handwriting, her notes that she wrote concerning things that were happening to her. She actually saw UFOs herself, you know, that she was having phone issues. That she had friends that were coming to her door complaining of stuff and telling her things were happening. You know, that one of her friends heard like a high-pitched whining like a generator starting in his barn. And his dog took off, ran towards the barn. He ran back in-house to get his shotgun and was too scared to go back outside. Even with a gun in his hands, was too scared to go back outside because he saw these burning bright red eyes coming from his barn. Okay, that's not a sandhill crane, people.
Sandhill cranes don't stand in your barn.
And no, he never saw his dog. But the strange thing is, when he was reading reports about that, mm-hmm. they saw his dog dead on the side of the road, that had freshly been killed. A couple did, that was coming into town to report an incident that happened to them. And as they were leaving town, the carcass was gone. So
they don't know who knows what that his dog. They did see a large dog that he's assuming was probably his.
Right, right. So I'm going to throw this out there, and I know Mike and I don't usually promote sites and stuff like that, so I'm not going to give you the actual website because I don't want to promote somebody else's site. But I am going to say this. That information that I found about the Silver Bridge victims, all of their names, where they were from, the fact that two of them are still missing – the whole thing about the 13 months for Mary Heyer and all kinds of really, really interesting stuff on the 86 people that died, or 84, sorry, that died in connection to the Mothman, you can find by doing a search for Mothman death list. Really interesting stuff. And I'll just throw one more out there before. I know we're getting kind of close to time here. So one of the ladies who researched the Mothman and went to Point Pleasant many times and was really heavily involved in UFOs and the Men in Black conspiracy and wrote a lot about it. She was like in her 40s, like 43, 44 years old. She put together an envelope, okay, a sealed envelope of all of her findings, everything, and left it for her son, who was also an investigator and was really intrigued by what was happening. And clearly on the outside of the envelope, it was sealed, taped shut. You couldn't open it. Said, do not open till December 2002. That's what was written clearly across it. December 1st, 2002, she was found dead under mysterious circumstances. I'll leave you
Well, we're going to leave you at that.
We're going to leave you at that. If that's not a reason to satisfy your curiosity and look up Mothman death list, I don't know what is.
I agree. That's going to do it for us. Obviously coming up is Mr. Jesso with the Parrot Cave, who has been waiting patiently in the chat room. Finally got his name all sorted out. So obviously, if
hi Matt, I haven't figured it out yet, Matt.
Obviously, if you want to get a hold of us, Odyssey Files Radio on Facebook, Odyssey Paranormal Society on Facebook, and last week's show and this week's show obviously will be on odysseyparanormalsociety.com probably tomorrow. So, with that said, I wish everybody a very good night, and we'll see you next week.
Adios.